Okay, if you would take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 10, a very familiar part of the Word of God. And just as much the Word of God as anything else, just as powerful as anything in the Word of God, it's how the Bible is. And we won't let a little bit of noise bother us at all, right? Not at all. Luke chapter 10 now, verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will pay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's pray. Lord, one more time we beg you, Lord, and ask you to give the message, that you would help me say what you once said. And Lord, I believe I do have the right message. And Lord, that it be said some ways close to right. And that you would accomplish in every heart what you want to accomplish. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And this is, I guess I'll call it a prophetical message. I'm going to tag you. I'm going to tag you as far as the judgment seat of Christ is concerned. I'm going to give you a name. And we'll see how it goes. In Luke chapter number 10, you look at a situation here where somebody got involved with the world. And the world, it's waiting on you. It's waiting to hammer you. It's just watching and waiting to, you know, give you the haymaker. It's kind of a picture of that, the fellow here. I mean, I don't know what the deal was here, but I just know this, and I know that given enough time, it'll be the same picture for you or anybody else gets wrapped up in the world. I'm sure of that. You can be careful, extremely careful, and some are. I got a friend of mine, he hasn't gone out in years at nighttime. I got another friend of mine that... I mean, come dusk, he's already heading for the house, heading for the barn. And those guys, they know what the world will do, and they're wise to the world, and so they are very alert. Now, I don't know about this situation here. I guess this fellow, he wasn't as wise. Maybe he's young and dumb, like sometimes it goes. But maybe he wasn't. Maybe just somebody thought, you know, I've got by, and I'll go where I want to go, when I want to go, and do what I want to do, and I've been okay 100 times before. I'll be 100 times, 101 times, I'll get it by. Maybe it was, I don't know. All I know is that the world's going to do a number on you. Doesn't matter who you are. Just hang around and give it enough time and give it an opening and the world will do a number on you like it did on this fellow here. Out in the world, they don't really care about you. Oh, you say, they care about you only to use you. Abuse you. I mean, you look at the passage here, and I mean, they stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leave him half dead. That's all. They abused the fella. They used the fella and said, bye-bye. You know, that's a lesson for everybody to learn. You know, everybody. That's a lesson to learn. That's the world. And I look at the passage here, and I say to myself, man, what's going on here? You know, that's a par for the course. That is the world. And your condition doesn't matter to them. I mean, they're going to, you know, if you're half dead, if you're dead, it doesn't matter. They don't care how they leave you. The world doesn't care how it leaves you. I mean, it's going to leave you. When they've got everything, they've bled you and got everything they get, they want, out of you, they're going to leave you. Half dead or dead, doesn't matter. I don't know if this fellow's young or old. I'll assume he's young. And he's not wise to deceptive places. I've seen young people do that. I've done it myself. Man, I can't believe the things I did as a kid. I mean, never thought nothing about it. Go to the football game, be out there, leave 6 o'clock, go to the football game, be out there waiting for the gates to open up at 7 o'clock, and after it's over, walk up along that creek there, and, you know, in the dark, and walk into town. Never thought nothing of it until one night a gang came up there, and it started to get nasty. Mind their own business. They just thought, you know, have some fun. One person, that gang, knew me and stopped it. Probably got cut up pretty good and probably been a nasty situation there. But that's how young people are. They don't think nothing about it. They just, you know, just do what you want to do and, you know, get it by. You got to buy once before or so. But, you know, this situation here now, here's somebody been tagged by the world. I mean, nailed good. Well on his way to wrapping it up. At that point, the Bible says half dead. Along comes the priest. Now the priest, you know, to be very religious. And so do I. Thought, here's the guy who's going to call 911. Here's the guy who's going to call for the EMS. Here's the guy, I mean, he's going to do something. Man, he knows first. Here's the guy who's going to get in there. He'll get some help for this fella. And at that point, I thought, you know, if I was in trouble, I wouldn't really look to that religious crowd. When I see what the priest did here, I think, why would I look to them? These guys, they're for show. They're for outward show. That's all they're good for. They care nothing about. I mean, treat the guy like he, what? And you find yourself in a bad condition. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's age. I don't care if it's disease. I don't care what it is. Maybe sin. I don't care what it is. Don't look to the religious crowd. They don't care nothing about you. Say, well, maybe that guy was a Samaritan. And the Jews have no... Doesn't say that. Not even implied. As a matter of fact, more likely than not, he was an Israelite. But the priest, you know, I mean, he'd put it this way. This priest, with all his stipulations, regulations, rituals, feasts, what all those feasts were, brother, I don't even know after looking at the board. Feasts, offerings, oblations, name it. I mean, everything you got to go. I mean, you'd expect this fellow man to hop right to it. There certainly should have been something in the... I mean, there's places where the Old Testament, all of it's called the law. And you thought, man, he'd have found something in the book of Proverbs that said, help this guy out. But no, nothing at all. There's a New Testament Christian named Paul who had such a heart for his people. He said, I could wish myself a curse, my brethren. And that is a statement. My brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. He had a heart for them. And here's a priest, and this priest doesn't care. I mean, a religious priest, and he cares nothing about this fellow. I mean, he's down. He's just about down for the count. The guy is half dead, and the priest doesn't care nothing about it. Not at all. Well, the guy's, I mean, half dead. I mean, he's probably not going to make it. I can't use him, and what good can he do me? That kind of an attitude. I mean, if he's dead, you know, you'd think, well, he can't touch a dead body there, he'd defile himself, and he'd be unclean, but the guy's not dead. He's half dead. And you thought, man, that guy went down and whispered in his ear, half dead. You know, when you're half dead, you can still hear. They say the last thing, let me think about that now. They say last thing to go is your hearing. And I went up and turned to page 244 for Shirley. I'm going to help her out. Yeah, you'll get me. 204. Last thing goes your hearing. And you thought, man, this fellow, he'd have just considered that thing. And I remember one time down in Florida, we come upon an accident. Man, here's his bike. It's laid down. This sailor, man, he's down beside that bike. And all these cars, man, everybody begins gathering around. I jumped out of my car and I went over and I said, hey, buddy, you know what? You're probably not going to die, but just in case, are you saved? No. Then you need to get saved. And somebody said, come on, get away from him. I said, get away, lady. And I went on and led the guy to the Lord right there. Here's a priest, I mean a religious priest, cares nothing about the guy, half dead, and cares nothing about him. Now, you know, when somebody's in a condition like that, that's, say, cherry picking. Yeah, that's right. It's cherry picking. And as a rule, somebody's half dead, and When they're young and strong, I mean, you can't hardly talk to them. And they feel like as though they're eternal, you know, and their muscles are never going to sag, and they're never going to get soft. And that's how they're under young and strong. But here's a guy half dead. You can talk to somebody like that. But I'll call this guy Aaron. Isn't Aaron? Aaron's a high priest. I'll say this is Aaron with an heir. You know that heir, that certain heir? I'm up here and you're down here. Or you're down here and I'm way up here. This is Aaron with an heir. A lot of hot air. This is Aaron with an heir. He had an air of religion about him, but you know when I think of him, I cringe. When somebody says, yeah, he's religious. I say, oh, please don't say that about me. I had ladies say one time, you're too religious. Oh, no. I felt like crying on the spot. Don't say that about me. I'm religious. This guy is religious. I mean, you couldn't get more religious than the priest, but what does he care? Nothing at all. You'd have to say he blew it. And that doesn't take anything to say this guy blew it. With all his religion, the guy's half dead, cherry picking time. He'd have received it a heartbeat. And the guy goes by on the other side. He probably thought, well, there's going to be somebody else come along. Let George do it. And along comes a Levite. And we'll call him George. You know, the Levite, they like to, well, they may not like to, but they got to work. That's their job. And that Levite, boy, you ever think of those things back in Numbers chapter 3 and chapter 4? Oh, man, the work of the service of the tabernacle. You ever think of that tabernacle? The size of those curtains, the thickness of those curtains. Man, I got a sore shoulder thinking about it. I mean, and these guys, they got to go in there, they got to do that work, and they got to take it down, they got to set it up, amongst other things, the work of the service of the tabernacle, and I'm sure that there's probably a lot of Marthas. Married to Marthas. They probably felt like Martha. You remember Martha? She's a good woman. She's a good woman. But she got wore slam out. And she got cumbered with much serving. Said, my sister, she's left me to do it alone. That was Martha. You ever feel that way? Joyce probably has when Ruth don't show up. Ruth probably does when Joyce don't show up. I tried to talk her out of that the other week, Joyce. I said, just let it go. We'll just tidy up. Oh, no, I'll get it. Good old Ruth. Beard. And, but here's a Levite, you know, and they've got a lot of work to do. And they're, you know, involved in the service of the tabernacle. And as a servant, you would think they'd have a heart for somebody having it tough, wouldn't you? You sort of, you know, like, connect with like. And some do, but, you know, this guy here, he just didn't care. He was in a hurry to get to work. Man, I got a long day. I got to take that tent down. I got to put that tent up, tabernacle. I got a boy. Oh, man, I can't believe those priests, they have left me to do a lot of work. I got to go to work. Or maybe, I got to go home. I'm in a hurry. I got to go home to my wife, my kiddies. I can say that at my age. I got to thinking, I hope Ruth Ann is not offended. Ruth. I called her Ruthie the other day, and I have to remember to call her Ruth Ann because, you know, she was at my side when she was 12 years of age. And she's Ruthie. And but I got to thinking about Pop Gillespie. He got up in his 90s there. There wasn't a man in this congregation that wasn't Ronnie, and it had been Ricky, it had been Louie, and it had been, I mean, that was just Pop. And I mean, at 95, you can say anything you want to about anybody, right? So I'm at that point, I think I can at least call her, out of endearment, Ruthie. But, you know, maybe he had to get home to his wife and his kiddies. I don't know what it was, but maybe he wasn't in a hurry. Maybe he just didn't have no heart. Think? He wasn't in a hurry. I'm going to hurry up and get to work. I like work. No, he just, he'd held back as far as that was concerned. He didn't like work. Tired of work. The problem was he just did not have any heart at all for anybody but himself. And passes by on the other side. Now, I can't say he's a typical Levite. Might have been. Maybe that's how they all are. I don't know. I'll just say maybe he's just somebody and he just got the idea like a lot of people. I paid my tithe. All we know is he's different than some. There was a Levite back in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 34, and I noticed this about him. The Bible says he's more upright in heart than the priest. That guy had heart. The priest didn't, but that one did. I'll put it this way. Apparently he's distinct in that he, maybe that guy was distinct having heart, upright in heart. This guy is distinct, he didn't have any heart. I don't know. I don't know how Levites operate. I'll just say here's one. Didn't have no heart, and he passed by on the other side. If I go on the other side, I mean, that don't obligate me. You know, Christians sometimes think that way. I'll just stay away. I didn't have no obligation. I'll just, you know, it's not my duty, you know, not my deal, not my duty, and I'll just stay away that way. Aren't Christians that way sometimes? You Christians. Don't you every once a year? Don't you feel that way? I'll just stay away, and then I'm not obligated. You're a shirker. You shirk your responsibility. I will say that's all. He just, you know, stay away. I'll go on the other side, and then it's not my deal to do this. This guy's half dead. If he kicks off, it doesn't matter to me. Attitude? What? Somebody might help. He's a helpless case anyhow. And so, good old George. George the Levite. George with, I got a lot of work to do, attitude. We'll call him St. George. Say, how do you get that? The same way the Pope got, he made Juan Diego, who's a mythical character, made him a saint. So I'll call this guy St. George. Had a lot of work to do. Didn't have time. Church's responsibility. I got to go by on the other side. And he said, let John do it. Huh. Yeah, Aaron didn't do it. He said, let George do it. George didn't do it. And he said, let John do it. Now, you know John. He's not John the Baptist, John the Beloved. In the Bible. John the Beloved, he's the one you find in John chapter 13 and he's leaning on Jesus' breast, bosom. And there's something about it that the Lord liked. He liked him. I guess you'd say it's John, he was a very tender-hearted disciple. And the Bible, John 13 and John 19 and John 21, talks about that disciple whom Jesus loved. He liked that. Along comes John the Samaritan. I say, man, what are you talking about? And I guess, you know, he's a Samaritan. Good old John the Samaritan. And being a Samaritan, he looks at the picture and said, I can connect with that, baby. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So he's had plenty of times when he's been snubbed. I'm sure he's had plenty of times when he's been snobbed. Say, what's the difference? I don't know. The spelling. He was snubbed and he was snobbed. Take your pick. I'm sure he's had, if there are two different things, I'm sure he's had both. He's a Samaritan, that's all he was. And so he knows what it's like to be treated like a leper. And that's what happened. You know, the leper, he was to be put in a several house. Let's say a duplex, triplex, what are we talking about here? Up or down? Well, a several house is, several in the Bible is like severed. S-E-V-E-R, sever. You cut something off right here. And the leper, he was to be put in a several house. As a matter of fact, the Bible speaks about Uzziah there in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 21 being cut off. He's severed from his people. And the Samaritan knows what it's like to be treated just like a leper, though he wasn't. You know, maybe Here's Rehoboam, but one time when he was young and tender-hearted, the Bible says. I'll bet that could describe some of you. There was a time when you were young and tender-hearted. I'll say, yeah, Brother Hart, that would have described... Not now. No, I didn't say it described you now. You might be like Aaron, the priest. You might be like George, the Levite. You're not young and you're not tender-hearted. Say, Brother Hart, I've had to really get hard to survive. Well, that'll work for in some areas. That don't work in this situation here. If anybody ought to have a heart, you ought to have a heart. If anybody ought to understand, you ought to understand. I mean, and not only that, have an indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. You, if anybody, ought to be, what does the Bible say, tender-hearted? Tender-hearted. And here's a fella, amazing. Without the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, like perhaps the majority have here, all he simply had was a great big heart. He had the Holy Spirit inside. He had a heart that you don't have. Thank you. And so this is a story, and you know, as I look at this parable here, I say to myself, Lord, why did you stick this in here? To convict people like you and I. That's why. Had a big heart for somebody who's been hurt bad. Yes. Wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. He'd been hurt bad. Now what can that Samaritan do? He could have followed the crowd. Couldn't he? I mean, the Levite, he followed the priest. The priest he followed his baser nature. You know, he could have followed the crowd. But he did not avoid this one that was hurt so bad. He didn't go as far as he could go from him. Look at verse number 34. And brought him to an inn. Look at the start of the verse. And went to him. Went to him. And did his best to ease the pain. Like I've got some balm. I got it in Gilead. I got some sweet balm of Gilead. You know what? I think that's just what you need for your bad wound. The sweet balm of Gilead. Oh, I got some sweet balm of Gilead, and I knew it would do something for you. Did everything it could do to comfort him. He went to him. And the Bible says there, in verse 34, at the end of the verse, and took care of him. Hallelujah. Took care of him. You know, there's four letters that made all the difference between the priest, Levite, and the Samaritan. It's easy. C-A-R-E. Correct. I'm going to tell you something else. You know, sometimes you got to read what it says and what it don't say. Right? Well, you got to do that in Acts chapter 2. I mean, it didn't say they were kneeling, begging God for the Holy Ghost of God. It just said they were sitting. And sometimes you don't read in. But sometimes you're careful as to what it doesn't say. And the Bible said, took care of him. I like that word, care. But there's four more letters that are missing. What would they be? First letter is S. I gave you another clue. E. I'll give you another one. L. There's three. I believe you can get it from there, can't you? S-E-L-F, self. And you think, you know, it'd be like the priest, the Levite. He took care of himself. Thank God it doesn't say that. I mean, this guy wouldn't be worth shooting like the rest of them. All he thought about was self. took care of him. And I mean, he did not take care of himself, wasn't concerned about himself at all. Self was out with this Samaritan. Compassion is in. Verse number 33. Maybe God do for you what he did for me. I was reading it. I don't remember where I was at. Glorious or somewhere. Like I do up in the Bible. I read about compassion. I read about mercy. Whoa! Yeah, and I look at that and say, well, I'll tell you what it's all about. I mean, compassion described by what? Verse 34, he cared for him. Verse number 34, he comforted him. Verse number 35, coins meant nothing to this guy. I mean, I'll spend my money to help somebody out. It doesn't bother me at all. Whatever it takes, I'll help somebody out. Coins, no coins. I don't worry about that. That is not my goal in life. Number four, he continued to care for him. The end of verse number 35. That's what you call compassion in the Bible. Now I want to ask you a question. You know anybody that's been hurt bad? Their survival and the difference for their survival may be you. Your care when nobody else cares. Your comfort when all are getting some bad rap. Coins, they need them more than you need them. And you're going to keep up with them until they get healed. Or you're going to change your direction and show your cold heart. You know, there's only three types here. Not 30. Not even four. And you're one of three. Easy enough, isn't it? A fellow told me one time, it's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. A guy named Tim LaHaye put out some books, and this is one of his first ones. He probably got 25 out now and makes money on them. One of his first books, I forget, was about your personality. And this guy said to me, he said, you're like you are because when you were born. I'm like I am because of when I was born. And I said, hogwash. I'm like I am because I'm born again. I'm like I am because I've been around the Word of God. And the Word of God has made me like I am. And not because of when I've been born. That doesn't matter. The words of Jesus Christ here do matter. Go thou and do likewise. And all is begging off. I'm like I am because when I was born. You don't use that cheap, silly argument, do you? Can you imagine that? Boy, what a pity. What an awful excuse it'll never fly the judgment. As I sum it up, the priests, his actions were condemned, were they not? The Levites, his actions were condemned as well. You know, birds of a feather. The Samaritan, his actions are commended. And the Lord Jesus Christ charges every Christian, go thou and do likewise. Some real compassion, not talk. You care, you really care. You do whatever you can to ease things up, the pain. Coins, if need be. Sometimes it's the last thing that's needed, but if need be. And you keep up with somebody till they're healed. And I tell you know what? It's this way. I found over the years, it seems like just about the time somebody needs you, they don't need you. There's a time when you know it and you're not needed anymore. Sometimes not wanted. There's a fine line. You need no one to bow out. I remember Mrs. Towner used to call the house. Is Arthur there? Would you ask Arthur to come to the hospital? I'm in the hospital. Would you ask him to come see me? I'd go see her. We'd talk about the Lord. I'd go to the nursing home. We'd talk about the Lord and the Word of God. Had good times. There came a time when Mrs. Towner passed on at about 95 or 96. And all the Lord did was immediately, within a week's time, put somebody else right there that needed me, wanted me. And I just went from one to another. And over the years, I found the same thing true. I found that there's somebody that really needs you and somebody that just stay with them till they get healed and then go on and find somebody else. There's always going to be somebody. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ said, it's all about compassion, it's all about mercy. This is what you call a merciless society, is it not? When the religious crowd cares nothing about somebody half dead, and the Levite, he cares nothing about somebody half dead, you'd say, that is a merciless society like ours. You live in a merciless society. I think it's also a merciless situation. Not careful, the guy dies. They do not care. Now, you need to take a look at the Word of God. Verse 37, he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. In verse number 33 or 4, he said, this guy had compassion. And verse number 37 said, he had mercy. I said, you go and do thou likewise. Now, you know, some of y'all, your tendencies have always been, and maybe always will be, like the priest. A religious show only. Or like the Levite. Not my job. Besides, I'm busy. Or you can receive the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and be like the Good Samaritan. Which I think you need to consider with the judgment seat of Christ coming up very soon. Question is this, how will he describe you? And how will he describe me? You've seen all three types of Christians. You've seen all three types in this church. A fellow told me, he said, you got cliques in your church. And I said, well, maybe. And I thought about that, and I observed, and I thought, that's truer than what I ever realized. I know some people that haven't spoken to other people and ever. It goes this way. Their description describes you, we'll say like the priest, cold. Stone cold, dead in the market. Your heart is colder than a block of ice. Your heart ought to be one that's described back in the Old Testament. His heart died within him. You're cold. Or maybe your heart is a, you don't care. That was a Levite. Why should he? The priest didn't care. Why should I care? He's like the priest. He's cold-hearted and he don't care either. Or he can be like the Samaritan, had compassion and mercy. And it's going to be one or the other. And you know, I told you I went out and made a visit and just opened the Bible up. Sometimes I just open it up, and sometimes I think on the way, like I went to see Gertie before she had her surgery the other day, implanted the pacemaker. I was thinking about Gertie going out to the hospital, and I thought about Joshua at 110. Gertie's got, she's on the plus side of 80. And I thought about how that Joshua, at the end of his ministry there, he said he hadn't failed me one word of all his good promise. Gertie, I'll tell you something, he's not going to fail you. Not only that, chapter 23, verse number 14, two times he says the same thing. Three times in two verses there, he said he hasn't failed, and he's 110 years of age. I said, apparently you can count on the Lord. Now, that's how I thought, was my thinking. Sometimes, I remember years ago, I had a Bible that Lisa and I traded with, and she had a few things marked. Every once in a while I'd go in, I'd open up, I'd see one of them marks, and I'd just read that verse and start talking about, you know, maybe the little mark there. But mostly I just open it up. Well, when I opened it up to Luke chapter 10 and read to Gloria or whoever, and Gertie or whoever, that's the first time she was in, and it was two for two, I use the old vocabulary of Garfield Rosier. I gots it. I gots it, Lord. I know what you want me to preach. Apparently, it's this church's need. If I'm plugged in and I got it right and the Lord could tell me what to do and tell me what to preach, apparently this is a message needed by this church, and you're the church just like I am. It's this way. You can be like the priest, let George do it. You can be like the Levite, said, let John do it. You could be like the Samaritan, said, I'll do it. The guy is hovering between life and death. I can make the difference. Probably run through his heart. I know what it's like to be passed by. Don't you? To be treated like a leper. Don't you? I bet you do. To be looked upon as worthless. Not even worth saving anymore. I don't know about you, but I can connect with some of that. I think I'll just be like John the Good Samaritan. You know, Luke chapter 1, you read about Zacharias, and he's a priest. And his wife, she was old and aged, and they were both righteous before God. She didn't have no children because of the problems, but they were righteous before God. It just didn't go that way for a long time. She finally gets in a family way there, and so everybody thought, man, absolutely at this point in the game, man, his name's going to be Zacharias. As a matter of fact, when he was born, they called him Zacharias. He was told by the angel God, when he's born, you name him John. And that little child comes into the world. And they said, hey, Zacharias, there he is, little old Zach. Nope. Said, his name is John. His name should be called John. I was told that by the angel of the Lord. And chapter 1, verse number 63, his name is John. I'm going to prophesy. One day you're going to get your final title, tag. Soon. John, not that old. Now I'm talking about the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ. We're there. Virtually there. The Lord's going to say, hey, Aaron, how you doing? You always have an air about you. You didn't care. You had a cold heart. Aaron. George, he got work to do. That attitude. What do I care? I got work to do. It's as cold hearted as Aaron or John with a tender, compassionate, and merciful heart. I wonder what your final tag will say. I told you a story how that I was born my middle initials J. Like kids, I didn't know any better. All the kids in school, they were all juniors. My middle name was Junior. And so I asked my mom, I said, well, was it okay if I put Junior on? Oh, yeah. So I became Art Martin Jr. with no middle name. And this week I get a letter, and it's Arthur J. Martin Jr. Oh, I mean, they want my business bad, man. They ain't missing a trick. And I looked at that and I told Shirley, I think I'm going to go, I'm going to start using AJM for my initial. That really gets her. So, you know, we're going to really confuse things now. But I just wonder, the judgment seat of Christ that's so near, is the Lord going to say, AAM, Aaron, AGM, George? Or could I really say, you got it, AJM, and yourself? Very simple, isn't it? You're like the priest. You're like the Levite. Or you're like the good buddy, good neighbor, good Samaritan that we call John. He had a tender, loving, compassionate heart. You know, some areas I can't do anything for you. You gotta hear the Word of God. You gotta get what God has for you. And you gotta respond. All I can do is seek God's face continually. 1 Chronicles 16. Seek His strength evermore and preach to you what God puts on me. And I don't think that I missed the boat this morning. That air and that don't care and that coldness, it doesn't fly. Compassion and mercy is what the Lord is looking for. Now examine yourself. Cold? Don't care about nobody but yourself? Compassionate. You're in there somewhere. And he gave you 30 to choose from. He gave you 3. You're there somewhere. And someday, the universe is going to know where you're at. And if there's something you need altered, I think this morning would just be a good time to alter it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time. Father, we're thankful for the Word of God, that your blessing be upon what has been said. And Lord, that we may never ever look at Luke chapter 10, just the parable of the Good Samaritan, take it lightly. May we take it to heart. And Lord, I'm sure that a lot that Samaritan connected with, we can connect with. Who hasn't been snubbed? And God, I pray that treated like a leper. I pray, Lord, you speak to hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.